This is an 8-iron, and it's a dead shank.
Wow.
Way right.
Oh, takes a hop off the path.
You got to be kidding me.
Very tough pitch shot right here. You got to hit it into the hill. One hop up and bite, and it's in.
Kind of like that.
I would like to welcome to the Sub 70 podcast, PGA Tour player, two-time web.com winner, and winner of the U.S. Amateur, Colt Knost, to the podcast. Colt, thanks for taking the time today.
You got it. Thanks, Jason.
So how is life treating you in Arizona? And I was talking to your teammate last week for the event in New Orleans, and I know you're a member at Whisper Rock. So how are you enjoying the club out there, and how are you enjoying living in Arizona?
Yeah, it's great. I've moved out here about 2.5 years ago and been at Whisper Rock the whole time, and it's just awesome. I love it out here and couldn't be happier.
How many tour guys are out there as members? And I imagine that competition has to keep you guys pretty sharp of the level of players you're playing against at your own home club.
Yeah, I think we have around 15 PGA Tour members and a few web guys. And then, you know, there's a lot of just great business guys that are really – really good players. And I mean, there's tons of good games, and yeah, the competition's very high, and it's just a great club to be at.
I can't imagine what that club championship must look like between
it's a tough one.
Yeah, I was gonna say, man, if you get through that gauntlet, is there actually some — you just kind of stated this before — is there some amateurs that can actually play with you guys on it? Because there's some guys who are that good out there.
Well, there's some guys that are very, very good. I mean, there's a guy named Ken Tanagawa, actually. They just got his senior tour card, or PGA Tour Champions card, I guess, this year. But he was an amateur before then, and he is a very, very good player, and he's had a few good weeks out there. But he's a tough one, and there's a few others that can definitely play.
Well, speaking of Ricky Burns, how excited are you guys for this team event, and how's your game shaping up to kind of, you know, ham and egg this thing perfectly and hopefully have a good finish for the event coming up?
Yeah, I mean, what Zurich's done in making this tournament a team event is just awesome. Last year was the first year. I know the field just got so much better and so much stronger, and it's an event every guy on tour, I think, looks forward to. It's just so different. I mean, we're so used to just out there competing for ourselves, and being able to root for somebody else and have somebody to fall back on is great. You know, I know Ricky and I are very excited about it. Yeah, I mean, my game hasn't been great the last couple months coming off of injury, but I feel like it's definitely heading in the right direction, and hopefully Ricky can get hot next week and we can go have a good week.
Did you guys pick out the music yet you're coming out to?
We've had a few ideas. I need to send that in actually today. But it's fun. It's going to be interesting to see what the tour approves and all that.
I know you're a Texas guy. And my question is, from moving out to Arizona, do you get back to Texas often? Do you miss the Texas culture? How often do you still get back home to see the guys and play in that sort of scenario?
Yeah, so, I mean, I'll always consider myself a Texas guy. I just moved out here. Honestly, I thought it was best for my career. But, yeah, I still go back. My mom still lives outside of Dallas, and I'm actually heading there on Sunday to play golf with some buddies out at the Trinity Forest, the new course that's hosting the Byron Nelson, and then play a charity event on Monday. So, you know, I still get back every once in a while, still stay in touch with everyone. And then, you know, we got to Byron Nelson in a few weeks, so I'll be there the whole week for that. And I still consider that my home event, and can't wait and always look forward to that week.
It's funny you said that. That was actually going to be my next question. So with Trinity Forest being on the, you know, first event that they're using that for the Byron Nelson, and I think the architecture of the golf course — I love Cor Crenshaw work, but it just looks fantastic. As a PGA Tour player, how do you think the PGA Tour guys will adjust to that golf course, and will there be a wide variety of types of players who will be able to play that well? I mean, it's going to be different than your typical tour course, I'm assuming, from the aerials I've seen and sort of read about it.
Yeah, so I've played it twice, and I've told every guy that's asked me about it to, I would say, play more than one practice round. It's a very cool golf course. It's a very different golf course, but the first time you play it, I think it kind of rubs you the wrong way a little bit. And then the more you play it, you kind of start to understand it a little bit and realize the special things about it. But it's a golf course you need to play a lot, just because the greens are very severe and you can miss it in certain places. And then there's certain places you just absolutely cannot miss it. So some knowledge around it's really going to help. But like you said, I've always been a fan of Core Crenshaw courses. I think they're awesome. Friar's Head up in the Hamptons is one of my favorite golf courses I've ever played.
Do you see any sort of player, minus you have to have time on that golf course, but do you think it's going to favor any type of player, or do you just have to play really smart and get the right angles into those holes? To, you know, is a bomber not necessarily have an advantage there? Do you really have to kind of think your way around that track?
Well, I mean, I think the bombers have an advantage everywhere because they hit it so far. But, you know, the fairways are very generous at Trinity Forest. It's very much a second shot golf course. So I think a great iron player is going to play very well there. Like I said, I mean, there's going to be guys that will go all week and not miss a fairway. So driving isn't huge. I mean, it definitely lets the long guys hit driver if they want to. But I wouldn't say driving is the most important part out there. I think it's really a second shot golf course, and a very, very good putter will play well.
Yeah, I can't wait to see it on TV. I think it's just going to present beautifully, and it'll be a really interesting event to watch. 2018 PGA Tour season, you said you're coming off injury, not the start you wanted. How close are you getting back to playing at a really elite level, and how's the progress coming?
Yeah, you know, I mean, I was out all last year with a wrist and thumb injury. I had wrist surgery, and, you know, I don't think people realize taking a year off from what you do is very, very tough. It was harder than I thought coming back. Just, you know, playing golf at home is different than getting out there and competing with the best players in the world. It's just, it's different. It's taken me a little while, and, you know, I've gone through some swing changes trying to help my hand out, so to take the pain away, and, you know, it's very, very close. You know, Hilton Head last week is one of my favorite events on tour, and I missed the cut, shot 72, 73, but, you know, I was encouraged with where my ball striking was coming, where it was heading, and I think I'm very, very close to playing well, and, you know, I have 14 events left on my medical to get the job done, and I'm really excited to see where my game is.
Physically, do you feel like you're back past, you know, post-operative, something like that? I know that takes a lot of time to kind of get that fully back with wrist injuries. Does that feel pretty solid at this point?
Yeah, it does. It does. It feels solid. It was just, I guess the hardest part for me was I was coming off like my best year of my career, you know, but I played all year without practicing because I had so much pain in my wrist and thumb, and then finally just couldn't take it anymore. So I had to have surgery. So that's what was tough, is my game was in such a good spot, and then I had to sit out for a whole year. So I'm just, you know, I think the main thing is just trying to get my confidence back. You know, I haven't seen the results I've wanted. I've had a few good rounds here and there, but just that consistency is lacking right now, and I just think I need to, you know, play a good solid tournament, four solid days, and I think that'll get me off and running.
What events do you have coming up past New Orleans, past the Byron Nelson? Is your schedule pretty set, or is there some flexibility in seeing how you feel?
Yeah, I mean, for the most, like, I think the frustrating thing is I've only played 2 weeks in a row since I've returned from injury, I think twice. So I just haven't gotten in that rhythm. I've kind of been playing like once a month here and there. But I plan on playing New Orleans next week, then Byron Nelson, hopefully get a spot in Colonial the week after. If not, then I'll be off until Memphis, and then I'll play Hartford, and then we'll kind of just see from there where I go. So I got a good little stretch coming up.
Yeah, and hopefully that does make a difference. I'm assuming once you get that rhythm on, you know, there's a different, like you said, there's competitive golf and there's your home golf, but getting that rhythm of being on the road, playing well, playing consistently, getting that momentum going, I'm assuming that rhythm is important to playing good, consistent golf, and hopefully you can get on that track and start doing it again.
Yeah, I mean, you're exactly right. I mean, just, you know, I'm a guy that loves to play too, and so it's I enjoy playing 2 or 3 weeks in a row out on the road, and I just haven't done that yet. But, you know, I just got to be patient, and I think things will start turning around very quickly.
When you started playing golf, who introduced you to the game, and how did you sort of fall in love with it?
So I started pretty late. I didn't pick up a club until I was around 12 or 13. My friends actually that I grew up with all played. I had three really good buddies that loved golf and had been playing since an early age. And I think my first really memory of golf was Tiger winning the Masters in 97. So I was 12 years old then. And I mean, just watching that just made me fall in love with the game. And, you know, I realized at a pretty young age, I wasn't going to be the tallest, fastest guy in the world. And so I figured golf was the best way for me to probably play sports professionally. And I just dedicated everything to golf around probably age 14 and just took off and did everything I needed to get to the level I'm at now.
What age did you know the talent was there to, you know, take that next step, which would be playing D1 college golf?
Yeah, you know, I started working with Randy Smith out of Dallas, who's a well-known instructor, when I was 16. And, I mean, he just kind of got me to that next level and made me believe that I could play college golf. I mean, I wasn't really highly recruited. I had a couple of offers and stuff. And then, you know, I got lucky with being able to go to SMU and stay right next to Randy. But even at the start of college, I didn't know if I would play professionally or everything. Probably around my junior year, I kind of started to think maybe I could do this. And then my senior year, I had a great year and actually played the Byron Nelson while I was still in college and made the cut. And that kind of just set me, like, this is what I want to do, and I think I can do this.
When you were at SMU, but I know you played there, but was that an easy decision to make, or was there other colleges you were really thinking about playing at? And then just as your overall college experience, how much did you enjoy your time at SMU?
Yeah, so, I mean, I was I had a couple offers from Texas Tech and North Texas. But, you know, Coach Jay Lohr reached out to me one day. He saw me hit a tee shot at the junior Byron Nelson and called me into his office one day and, you know, made me an offer to come play golf there. And I just thought it was great. You know, I was an hour from where I grew up, which was nice. And Randy Smith was 10 minutes away. And I thought being around him, being able to see him consistently would be huge for me. And yeah, going to SMU, I mean, obviously is one of the main reasons I'm where I'm at today. And, you know, college was a big culture shock for me. I came from a really small country town of 5,000 people to SMU, which is, you know, in the middle of Dallas and kind of a little uppity, you know, wealthy school. And it was a big culture shock. So it took me a little while to get comfortable, but, you know, I really enjoyed it.
And in 2007, I mean, you had for an amateur golfer, a year, I mean, that's, I mean, the only two people who ever accomplished what you accomplished by winning three USGA events in one year was Bobby Jones and Jay Siegel, which it's an amazing year and a hell of a group to be associated with. What's your just general memories of that time period of all three, of winning the USAM, the Pub Links, then playing on the Walker Cup? That had to be one special period of time in your life.
Oh, it was just absolutely amazing. I mean, I kind of just remember everything kind of started with Byron Nelson, honestly. Just I shot 64 on Friday and got into the top 10 going into the weekend, and that just kind of set my confidence to a whole nother level. Just, you know, I mean, I was having a great college year that year, but to do it on that stage and get up there with the best players in the world, like, my confidence just went to a whole nother level. And, you know, honestly, I think I played really great the whole summer. I don't think I ever had a really, like, let down tournament. You know, I decided to go play the Pub Links because I'd never played it, and I thought it was a great chance for me to, you know, maybe obviously win and get in Augusta. And USGA events are huge when you play well in those, as far as making the Walker Cup team. And the Walker Cup team was my number one goal the whole summer. But I just remember I played amazing at the Pub Links. You know, once I got into match play, I just cruised through everything. And being able to win and get the invite to the Masters was just so surreal for me. I mean, I didn't even really know what to do. I was so focused on trying to make the Walker Cup team, I didn't even really think about, you know, I'm going to have to make a decision whether or not to turn pro or stay amateur for Augusta and all this. And, you know, the summer just kind of kept rolling. We got to the U.S. Amateur, and I had Tripp Keeney and his dad both told me a week before, they're like, you're going to win the U.S. Amateur Olympic. The golf course is just so perfect for you. And, you know, I got there and I just fell in love with the place. And it, like I said, I mean, there wasn't a more perfect golf course for me. And, you know, it was a week to remember. My confidence had never been higher. I knew I stepped on the tee every match and I just knew I was going to win. I never panicked once all week, and, being able to finish off that summer winning the Olympic Club was just, you know, awesome to be able to associate myself with, like, I mean, Ryan Moore, who had an unbelievable, amateur career. Just to win those two huge events was amazing. And then, you know, to go to the Walker Cup and represent USA and play with the group of guys I did, we just had an unbelievable team. And to win the Walker Cup over to Ireland was definitely icing on the cake. It was just, that was my favorite event that I've ever played in golf. You know, to be on the team with the nine other guys we had, and, you know, eight of us are on the PGA Tour right now. And I mean, looking back, I mean, a lot of people say that's the greatest Walker Cup team that's ever been assembled. And, you know, just to be a part of that is just an honor and something I'll always remember.
Yeah, you kind of got to my follow-ups already. I was kind of doing my research for this, and I was looking at that Walker Cup team, and it looks like a current PGA Tour leaderboard. I mean, that's the greatest team I've ever seen. I mean, you don't see that many guys who have, you know, won on major tour. I mean, that's got to be the best team ever assembled. I mean, it's crazy how good that team was.
That's what I mean. You know, it's not for me to say, but I mean, everyone claims. I mean, that's arguably the greatest team, Walker Cup team they've ever put together. And you know, what's amazing is a guy like Brian Harman was like the last guy left off. And I mean, just if he was on the team, I mean, that'd have been nine guys. And yeah, it was just, I mean, I know USA hadn't won overseas in, you know, many, many years. And I mean, we went over there and I mean, we had to be the heavy favorites on paper, I would imagine, but playing in that environment's a totally different deal. And I mean, it was an awesome week. I mean, the Great Britain and Ireland fans just, they embraced the Walker Cup so much. And it was an intense week, but it was just awesome.
And also back to the Olympic Club. I mean, it's a historic site, and you said the golf course really fit you. What about that golf course in your game worked so well that you had that confidence? Because to get through the gauntlet of the players, you have to, you know, like what Ryan Moore did and what you did, I mean, you have to be playing so well. You just can't kind of gimp through that and do it twice. I mean, your game must have been, you know, hitting on all eight cylinders. And then what about that course when you got there, about that architecture worked well for you?
Yeah, you know, I've always been a guy that drives the ball really well. I mean, I'm not the longest, but I drive it very straight. You know, I can work it both ways. And Olympic Club, driving the ball is just so important there. I mean, you've got to be in the fairway to hit those very small greens. And it's a place where you have to work it both ways because the fairways have so much slope in them. And I don't know, I stepped on the grounds there and saw the golf course and just knew I could play extremely well there. And I knew my driver would just help me out so much that week. And, you know, I mean, if I'm driving the ball in the fairway, I just knew I was going to be very hard to beat that week because length wasn't a huge, huge advantage there.
And then the other venue, which some people argue, like going back to the Walker Cup again, is Royal County Down. Some people say it's the best golf course in the world. What was your assessment of that golf course when you were there? And once again, is that a course that fit your eye? And how would you describe the architecture and the best attributes of that track?
Yeah, I tell everyone that's my favorite golf course I've ever played. It's just gorgeous there in Ireland. And I mean, it's such a special place. You know, I mean, we got so lucky with the weather being really good for us, during the matches. I mean, I think we had 10 mile an hour winds and just, you know, 60 degree weather. We didn't have any crazy Ireland storms or anything to have to deal with. So that really benefited our team. But yeah, it's an unbelievable place. And there's no other golf course that I've played like it. Just like I said, the whole week, the way the people treated us, everything, it was just an awesome week.
And then on the other side of that Walker Cup team, there was a young guy named Rory McIlroy. Did you see that talent and his game? Even I saw he was 18 years old and he was playing in it. Did you see what he was going to become talent wise when you were watching him play as a competitor on the other side of it?
Yeah, so like you said, he was 18, and you know, he was a very differently built kid at 18 than he is now. He, you know, had a little chub. He was a little chubby and a little different. Didn't hit it near as far as he does now. But Dustin Johnson and I played him and this kid Jonathan Caldwell in the first alternate shot match, and you could definitely see. I mean, the kid was going to be on the PGA Tour, was going to be successful. Now, I didn't know he'd get to number one in the world, but I mean, you could definitely see the talent was there. And he had a lot of game, and you know, he's turned into an unbelievable player and an even nicer guy. He is one of the greatest guys on tour, and I enjoy spending time with him so much. And you know, it was awesome to look back. I mean, that was 11 years ago and realize that I got to play against one of the best players in the world.
And then you're making my job easy here today. I was going to talk about DJ. How great was it to have him as a partner? And once again, was that talent evident when he was, you know, an amateur still as well, that you could see he had that kind of horsepower and potential?
100%. I mean, you know, our captain was Buddy Marucci, and I know me and him talked about it a lot even back then. I mean, we all knew Dustin was probably going to be the best player on that team. Just the talent was just was unbelievable. I mean, he hit it 9 miles and could putt it. And I told him in 2007, I said, if you ever learn how to wedge it, you're going to be unbeatable. And you look at him now, I mean, that's all he does is work on his wedges. And he's the best player in the world for a reason. I mean, he's so dominant. And, you know, I mean, I honestly didn't know we would be partners at all. I mean, we had a practice session at Caves Valley up in Baltimore, and Buddy put him and I together, and we just steamrolled everybody on our team. And so once that happened, we knew we'd play together. And I mean, it's just playing with him, playing from where he drives it, and me getting hit short irons in is just, it's awesome. I mean, the places he hits it are just unbelievable. I mean, I remember the first hole at County Downs, a par five, and I hit 7 iron in off his drive, and I'm hitting 5 wood in off my drive. Like, it's just a different world up there. But, you know, Dustin's been one of my great friends for a long time, and I'm so happy for the success he's had. But, you know, it was just an honor to play with him.
Well, it makes sense why they'd have you partners, right? Because, I mean, you're so consistent. That's a strength of your game. You know, your short irons are really, really strong. Let him do what he does off the tee. I could see why that partnership could have really, really worked.
No, I totally agree. Yeah. I mean, our games are very opposite, but when you team them together in an alternate shot format, I think they go so well together.
After you turned pro, you had to give up playing in the Masters, the Open Championship, and the U.S. Open from your amateur wins at the USAM and Pub Links. How hard was that decision to forgo that to start your professional career?
Yeah, it was tough. You know, I'd always dreamed of playing in the Masters. The other ones are obviously huge tournaments, and the U.S. Open and the Open Championship. But you can qualify through normal qualifiers for those. But it was tough. You know, I sat down with, you know, my mom and my current team now, like at Hamburg Sports, and I mean, my stock was just never going to get any higher. I was the number one ranked amateur in the world. You know, I'd done everything, and I had some offers that honestly I just couldn't turn down. And they couldn't guarantee me that those offers would be there in April after Augusta. So, you know, I had to do what I thought was best for myself and my family. And, you know, I thought my game was ready to go. And I mean, you know, people criticized me a lot for doing it, but they just, not everyone understands the situation each person's in. I mean, I didn't come from a really, really wealthy family. And when you can have life-changing money and financial things thrown at you, I mean, it's something you have to look at. And, you know, I've always said, I'm not playing this game for one tournament. I'm playing this game to have a long career at it. And I just thought my time was in. I got sponsor exemptions right out of the gate and did, you know, 3 events in the fall. And then I think I played 6 starts on the PGA Tour the next year. And I played a full season on the web.com tour and won twice, which was huge for my confidence and got me on the PGA Tour.
Yeah, I was going to talk to you about that. I mean, 08, you play the web, 2 wins. That's a great season. I have a kind of two-part question to that of what did that do for your confidence knowing you can win at a really high level? And then did you see things as well that you knew you had to improve upon from your amateur game to kind of playing one tour full time to get to that sort of next level? I mean, those guys out there can really, really play.
Yeah. I mean, I learned so much on the web and, you know, coming right out, I think I won my 6th event and, you know, then I won again, I think like 6 weeks later, you know, I won at 2 events through, you know, July, pretty much just through half of the season. So I had my PGA Tour card locked up. And honestly, like, it was amazing for me to win so early, but I think it made me not appreciate things quite as well either. You know, I kind of thought coming off the year I had in 07 where I won so much in amateur golf and everything, and then I come out and I win right away in the web, and you know, it sounds bad, but I almost felt like it was easy. And, you know, I got a huge wake-up call the next year when I went to the PGA Tour because I didn't work as hard as I needed to, and I took things for granted. And didn't really, I don't know, I almost didn't treat it as a job. I just kind of thought, you know what, no big deal. I'm going to keep my card. I'm going to win out here. You know, I'm going to be out here for a long time. And you can't take that mindset into it. I don't know if I was mature enough to handle being out on that stage or what, but, I mean, it was a big wake-up call because I had a horrible rookie year on tour. But, you know, that was probably the best thing that ever happened to me because it made me go back to the web. It made me
work hard, and get ready to go out there and play on the PGA Tour.
And then obviously in 2015 and 16 on the PGA Tour, you really start trending the right way. So kind of going through that tough period and getting back out there and being successful, what did you do kind of in part two to kind of in those two seasons really get the momentum going the right direction, even though you didn't win, but those were two really good campaigns?
Yeah, I think I just finally reached a comfort level where, you know, I felt like I belonged out there. And like I said, I was comfortable. I knew I could compete out there. I think in 2015, you know, I had like four top tens and got in the mix a couple times. And then 16 was great where, you know, I had a few chances to win. I had a great week at the Players Championship, which, I mean, when you play good there, it's just, I mean, it's hard to argue that that's not the best field in golf every year. I mean, it's just all the best of the best are there. And when you go out there and you play great at that level, I mean, it just gives you huge confidence. And, I tell everyone, there's not that many, you know, Jordan Spieth, Justin Thomas, Ricky Fowler guys that just are big names coming out of college, and they just go out there and they dominate. I mean, I like to say, you look at a guy like Matt Kuchar, it took him a while to get comfortable out there. I mean, he was a huge star coming out of college, and he struggled for a while. And, you know, people I think mature at different ages, and sometimes it just takes a little longer for guys to get comfortable and realize they belong out there on the PGA Tour.
How long, kind of as a follow-up to that, does it take just to learn the golf courses really well? So, you know, the guys who are currently on tour have to have a huge inherent advantage over, like, your rookie campaign where you're still trying to learn those courses, and those guys have been playing those courses, hypothetically, for 9 years straight. How much of an advantage is that alone, of just learning the tracks that you're going to be playing?
It's huge. I mean, knowing you don't have to go out there and grind out a practice round, you know, every week. You can go play nine holes or whatever. You know the golf courses so well. I mean, and just different things like knowing where to stay, knowing what places to eat and all that. It's just such a comfort level after you've been out there a while. And I mean, you know guys that work the tournament, you know everything. Everything is just so much easier after you've been out there a while. You know, on Tuesday if it rains and storms and you don't get to play a practice round, you don't have to panic because you've seen it. Whereas a rookie, I mean, you kind of start panicking if you don't see the golf course or you don't know every inch of every place.
I also know you've done some broadcasting. How much did you enjoy it when you were kind of in the tower doing the broadcasting? And is that something at some point in your career, maybe later, when you don't want to play professional golf, you would consider doing?
So, yes, like Golf Channel came to me while I was hurt, and I did a week in studio with Golf Central, and you know, I enjoyed it. I'm a golf fan. I'm a sports fan. And so I watch everything. And I've always been very intrigued with that business. And I also know that I can't play golf forever. And there's going to be a time where I'm going to have to look for something else to do. And I've always been very interested in the broadcasting. I've gotten Gary McCord and Peter Costas are members at Whisper Rock, and I've gotten to know them very well. And just spending time with them, talking to them. I was up in the booth for an hour with Gary in Dallas last year, and you know, I love it. He's helped me so much, and it's something I really do want to get into, and I think I'd be very good at it. Just being a younger guy and having a relationship with all the guys out on tour, I think I could really bring something different to the broadcast. But I still want to play for a little while longer. I still love competing and playing, but it's something I definitely do want to do in the future.
So when you do the broadcasting, you know, the best guys just make it look effortless, just like they're having, you know, McCord or Costas. Costas is just great on the golf course, but it looks effortless. It can't be that easy. So when you kind of did it, what's the hardest part about making it look simple? And because it can't be that easy to do with all the information going, to just kind of let it flow and like you're having a normal conversation.
You know, I don't know. I think it just comes easy to some guys. For me, I just, you know, I feel like I know a lot about the game and you know, I know a lot about the players out there. And so for me, I just try to be myself. That's all they've ever told me is just, you know, I mean, don't try to be someone you're not. You got to figure out, you know, which personality works for you in broadcasting. And, you know, I'm a very, very honest guy. And, you know, I think I have some humor to me as well. But I also know a lot about the game. And so I think I bring a lot to the broadcast. The first time I did it, Golf Central, I remember I was pretty nervous because I had no idea what was about to happen. You know, I kind of just got thrown in there and they're like, go and see what happens. And, you know, as each day went by, I got way more comfortable and just was able to be myself and just kind of tell it how it is out there.
No, I know what you're going through. The first podcast I ever did, and this is like, I think, our 30th one, I had my first guy is Kelkovecchia. And I'm like, oh, God, you know, I'm a hero. I mean, I grew up, I'm 45 years old. He was like, you know, I worship the guy's game. I'm like, oh, I'm so nervous. But you're right. You just kind of get a little bit better with it and a little bit better, and hopefully it flows. But it's got to be a strange thing when all of a sudden a camera hits you on Golf Central. And it's like, okay, go and do it, right? I mean.
Yeah, I mean, that's exactly how it was. I mean, they were just kind of threw you out there, and they're like, all right, this is what we're going to talk about. Just go. And I kind of didn't have a clue the first day, but, you know, knocked some rust off and got right out there. And, you know, I feel great towards the end of the week doing it. And, you know, I look forward to doing it some more in the future. I would love to be out there on the golf course like Peter is, walking with the guys inside the ropes and just talking about golf and talking about what the players are kind of are thinking and what kind of situation they're facing, because, you know, I've been in those situations, and I think I can bring a lot of that to the broadcast.
Well, my next series of questions are just sort of quick answer, whatever kind of comes to your mind. So I'll just kind of fire them at you here and let me know what kind of comes for your train of thought. Your favorite event to play on the PGA Tour, and what makes that event so great? Not non-majors, just a regular event.
The Players Championship. It's just an unbelievable atmosphere, awesome golf course that any type of player can win at, which I think is just awesome for an event that's at that level. And just, I mean, the crowds are just incredible. And it's the PGA Tour's event, so they just treat us unbelievably.
When you were on the web.com tour, the best smaller market city you guys visit that a lot of people might not think about actually going to that you enjoyed being at the most?
Omaha, Nebraska. It's not even close. I mean, it felt like a tour event. They had, you know, grandstands, you know, just huge, huge crowds. It was awesome.
If the PGA Tour made you the commissioner for 1 week, is there one or two rules you would change?
Yeah, pace of play would definitely change a lot. Mostly just pace of play.
Would you hand out the penalty too? Like legit, 100%. Like it's going to cost you the stroke or two strokes.
Yeah, I mean, the amount of time it takes us to play a round of golf out there now is just ridiculous, and it's no fun for anyone, in my opinion.
Best golf shot you ever hit under pressure? Could be from your pro career or amateur career.
Probably the pitch shot on 18 at the Walker Cup the last day against Danny Willett. I hit it over the green in two, par five, and it's just dead back there, and everybody told me it was dead, and I hit a little bump shot that trickled down to 3 feet to have the match, which was just an incredible experience. And you know, I have friends that go to Roll County down still, and they say the caddies take them back there and show where I got it up and down from all the time.
It's pretty cool. Best golf shot you saw a competitor ever hit under pressure, where you were just blown away of how good the shot was?
I wasn't there in person, but the shot Tiger hit at Glen Abbey at the Canadian Open on 18 out of the fairway bunker. I think he hit 6-iron from like 210 to the back right pin. And I mean, I've played there 20 times, and every time I'm on 18, I look and I'm just like, how in the world did he hit that shot? And he hit it to like 15 feet. And I mean, it's just, I don't think any player has that ability.
You're not the first guy who's mentioned that one. Even some guys who played that week said, that one would never even register in my brain to take a 6-iron from that older equipment from that far out and to be able to hit it that high to that back right pin location. So that's the best golf shot they've ever seen.
Yeah, you just look and it doesn't look like there's any green over there, and to go with that pin is just unbelievable.
Coolest thing you ever bought for yourself as a treat after a really good performance, after a win or at a PGA Tour event?
Huh. I don't know. I've never really like bought anything cool besides a house. I'm not a big par guy. You know, I've had some celebratory parties like in Vegas, and those are always fun.
That would count. Yeah, that's a good one.
Yeah, I guess that's spending it, wasting it.
Last time. Well, you gotta cut loose every now and then. Last time you ever had to pay for a round of golf, Colt Knows shows up at the course and the guy goes, "Sorry, sir, I can't help you. You have to pay the green fee."
So when I go play public places, I don't call and ask for free ones. I just show up, and if they take care of it, they take care of it. No big deal. But I remember I went to the Indy 500 last year and went and played with some friends at the Brickyard. And I just walked in and I paid. And then when I made the turn, the guy came out and he's like, "I'm so sorry. Like, here's your money back and all this." And I said, "No, don't worry about it. Keep it." But it was just, it was funny. I definitely paid that day. But the guy felt bad at the turn, I guess, and wanted to give me my money back. But I don't mind paying for golf every now and then. No, not at all.
Throw the card and throw the card out there. And
no, never. I would never do that. I'm not big time enough to do that.
Nickname. Who gave you and how'd you get the nickname, which is a great nickname, Big Gravy?
Yes, Steve Elkington gave it to me, and I have no idea how he came up with it, where it came from. He just started calling me in on Twitter one day, and it kind of just stuck.
Yeah, it's perfect. I mean, it's a great nickname. I love it. Got two more here for you. The three or four most interesting people you have gotten to meet because of the game of golf, but not necessarily golfers.
I've met unbelievable people, and I've met some of my heroes because of this game. Charles Barkley, who's a really great friend that lives here in Arizona. I met him through golf, and it's just, he's unbelievable. Michael Jordan was my hero growing up, and I've gotten to know him and been able to play golf with him a few times. And then I think probably my number one is President George W. Bush, just from Dallas. And, you know, we got to go to the Oval Office when we won the Walker Cup. And, I've been around him a lot, living in Dallas and everything. And just to have a relationship with the President of the United States has just been unbelievable.
That's pretty cool. How is Jordan's golf game? Is it pretty solid? I mean, he's got to be great under pressure, but is he a legit 1-2 handicap?
No, he's like a 4, but he putts it unbelievable, especially on 18. It's amazing. He never misses on 18, but he's awesome. I mean, he's just such a competitor and, arguably one of the greatest athletes of all time, and he'll play for anything you want. It's awesome.
Yeah, I was going to say, I can't imagine I'd want him with 3 holes to go with the money on the line. He's not going to spit the bit. You can just picture
there's
that.
There's zero choke factor in him. Yeah,
exactly.
Zero choke. Yeah.
Last one I have, and I know the answer to one of these is probably going to be Royal County Down, but three or four best golf courses architecturally you've ever played, and what makes those courses so great?
Yeah, obviously Royal County Down. I mean, it's well known how great the golf course is. One of my favorites is a place in the Hamptons called Friar's Head that Cor Crenshaw did. It was built in 1999. It looks like it's been there for 100 years. It's unbelievable. Pebble Beach on a nice day is hard to beat for me. It's just, the views are incredible. I think the golf course is actually awesome. You got to think your way around the golf course. The greens are so tiny. Cypress Point I've played it 3 times now, and I mean, just to know what has happened there, and I mean, all the history and everything, and to walk around there, and I mean, you really appreciate the design of the place. I pinch myself every time I'm out there on 15 and 16 at Cypress.
If you love Cor Crenshaw, have you had a chance to play the Sandhills yet in Mullen, Nebraska?
I haven't. I've heard great things, though.
Oh, my gosh. If you love Cor Crenshaw, it is absolutely spectacular. It lives up to the hype. It's just that good. So if you ever get the chance on that one, too, I love their work as well. Well, I want to thank you for your time today. I really appreciate it. Great luck coming up in New Orleans, and hopefully, like I said, a successful stretch where you sort of get your rhythm going, and we'll kind of be watching for you on the PGA Tour. And like I said, thanks for your time today.
You got it. Thank you so much for having me.